And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, Alabama. And I'm talking about y'all, this show goes like, whoo, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. The text lines are indeed open, and some of y'all have definitely found out. So let me just check a few of these, see what we got in here before I jump into the triple dipper. Jeff from Indiana says, happy Thump Day. That's right, Thursday, Thump Day. I like that. You too, Jeff. Steve from Hoover says, amen to your liberal narrative. Thank you, brother. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, I want to say that the person that gives the best performance during the Boomer McQueen segment earned 10 extra credit points. He's just baiting us now. He's trying to create a Thunderdome aspect here. It's like a cage match.
Who wants those extra points?
Yeah. Yeah. I think both of us are scared of McQueen. It's not going to happen. So, yeah. Anyway. Mark from Tony says, ain't happening. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Mark. I'm not sure where we're going on that. Kevin from Florence says, there's only two genders. Well, I did have that in my list. I did have that in my list, man. I read it kind of fast. You might not have gotten that one. John from Huntsville again says, John M. from Huntsville says, Fox reported this morning the protesters were socialist Democrats. I have no doubt. Although one of the people who already, you know, clapped back at me on Twitter was like, well, how do you know? Or something. I forget what they said, but they seemed to imply that it wasn't their people. Nah, it's theirs. It's theirs. Joe from Birmingham says, last night, Joe Biden was doing his best impression of Ricky Bobby. What do I do with my hands interview? He never knows what to do with his hands. You can see when he stands there, it's like a piece of wood. It's like his hands are right. Just put them in your pocket or something, or, you know, clasp them in the front, you know, just quit trying to make it hard. Richard T. from Madison says, question, is Xi, China, a dictator? So Biden told the truth? What's the problem? Is Putin, Russia, a dictator? If Trump calls both dictators, would you have a problem? Look, I don't have a problem, Richard T. Here's the bottom line. It was a question he didn't have to take. It was also a question that all it did was make his people's life miserable. Whether I liked the answer or not is not necessarily the thing. The question is, was that the appropriate response at the time in order to go coincide with all the things you said you just accomplished that afternoon in your multi-hour session wrangling with Xi? So I'm sure you understand that, Richard T. You just don't want to, apparently. JT Lacey Springs says, at least Biden didn't call Xi a corn pop. There's that. Okay. Hey, listen, we're going to jump off into the triple dipper, and you know, this is where we're looking at things happening in our backyard, stuff happening around here. We can get lost in what's happening in D.C. sometimes, what's happening on the international scale, but man, what happens in your backyard might affect your life just as much, so every once in a while, we got to cook up a batch of home fries. Thank you. Smell it from here. Mmm, listen to them sizzle. All right, so let me start by saying Alabama is one of the most heavily licensed states in the nation. Occupational licensure is the name. You can look up occupational licensure, Alabama, and you'll find a litany of different occupations that you might be shocked to find out have to have a license. And oh, by the way, they're also subject to a respective licensing board. Case in point, massage therapists are going through some stuff right now. Then you've got things like barbers and hairdressers, licensing boards, cosmetology board. There's any number of boards that you look at, some of which you think, okay, I get it. You know, there's a state bar association for attorneys. That's important. There's the state medical association for doctors, and I get it. I mean, some of them I get. Electricians, you know, they wire your houses. You don't want them to explode later on, so I get it. But we also put some serious impediments in the way of people's ability to earn a living that are somewhat unnecessary. So one of the things that happens every year is, in an effort to pretend that we're not growing government, it used to aggravate the crap out of me, down in Montgomery they do a thing called the Sunset Board. The vast majority of these licensing boards have what's known as a sunset clause built into their legislative creation. So at some point, as a creature of statute, the massage therapy board or any of the ones, the others, were created, and they became a board, but they were sunsetted because no one wants to say we created big government and kept it growing. But every year they have to come back for renewal. And almost every year they do. I can remember killing at least one. I've forgotten which one it was now. But and then some of them, they become so onerous, they make it impossible. The big corporations within the licensing board sort of take over the leadership of the board, and they make it hard for the little guy to come up. All this to say, I was really glad to see this. Two of the guys that I think are some of the most conservative in the state Senate are Senator Chris Elliott and Senator Dan Roberts, and there are several others. But they have taken it upon themselves to bring sort of a licensing oversight crackdown, and I am so glad. But they looked at some things that are happening, and they said, you know what? How is it that we have all these boards, and you guys apparently collect a lot of fees off of the people you license and have oversight on, and you investigate, and you penalize, and you collect fines, and yet you have to outsource your administrative work. There's one company run by a guy named Keith Warren that has the administrative contracts for like 14 different boards. Well, the licensing renewal, the state board that oversees massage therapists and all that, they recently had to go through a shutdown because the Senate committee decided they were not going to renew that contract until they could prove why it was necessary. So next thing you know, nobody's answering the phones. Well, that's anyway, that whole thing's got to get fixed. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, we're going to have Senator Elliott on the phone, and we're going to talk to him and see where he sees this going. But I certainly applaud the effort. Having been down there and worked with sunset committees and all of that, I can just tell you, it's a nut we got to crack. And right now, they're talking about consolidating these things under the Secretary of State's office, and I like it. There's that. Here's one other. Home fries, things happening right around us. The grocery tax cut. Paying a little less for groceries. 3 cents, not 4 cents on the dollar to the state. Okay. Doesn't seem like much. But here's the thing. All the screamers, don't do it. You're going to crush education, because that's where the sales tax dollars go, is to the education budget. You're gonna harm the babies. They won't get the schooling they need. Well, it's really not coming out to be near as bad as they said it would. So, story here on Alabama Daily News. 1 month into Alabama's reduced tax on groceries, the new data suggests the cut may turn out to be less costly to the state coffers than initially thought. So there was all this talk about, if you cut it from 4 to 3, that's the only way we can survive. If you cut it down to 2, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, here's the thing. They said that we were looking at potentially, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, by now we should have seen $12.7 million in loss of revenue. It's only been 8.4. What that means is the impact has been less. I would suggest that part of that is because inflation is keeping people from shopping as much. This is groceries. So it's not like this is like, you know, non-perishable goods, clothing, extra things. This is groceries. But even still, have you seen the price of groceries? I mean, it's unreal what it takes to go and buy just the main staples. Every little bit counts. But I think people are buying less right now. I think they're doing more with less. But anyway, right now what we're seeing is I think we're going to wind up seeing another cut next year from 3% back on down further to 2. State Senator Andrew Jones, who's the guy who actually took my place in the Senate, he ran for the seat when I decided not to run again, and he's from Cherokee County. He said that he's hoping that by next year we begin to really push for abolishing the grocery tax altogether. All right, I tell you what, boom, before I jump into the next one, I got several more here in the home fries category. Why don't we just take a break? Let's take a break right now, about a minute earlier than usual. We'll do that. We'll come right back, and then I've got a question about what I believe is the greatest college football play ever, and it happened in Alabama. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense like a superpower. So several things for you to know. Number one, a little bit of controversy. So our new Speaker of the House, the U.S. House, Mike Johnson, he presided over the same kind of thing that got Kevin McCarthy fired. They just passed a largely bipartisan vote to fund government. Now, I'll be honest with you. We've got to see some change in the way they're doing this. I mean, we got to. I mean, no fooling got to. I am absolutely not for the continuing resolutions. I think that's lazy politics. You know, in Alabama, the constitutional requirement is that you have to pass a balanced budget every year, and we do. But at the U.S. level, they apparently don't have to. But I will say this. Mike Johnson was in a no-win situation. I mean, can you imagine taking a job and 3 weeks later, you've got to pass a major spending bill? So I'm willing to give him a buy on this one. But I do not want to see any more buys. I don't. I say that, okay, would I have voted for this if I was there? Probably not. Probably not. But sitting out here as a fussy conservative, I'm of the mind that we're still better off with Mike Johnson than we were under Kevin McCarthy. I really do believe that. I like who he is. I like his character. I like what I see. I like the people who know that they know him. My own pastor knows him and thinks the world of him. So I'm gonna give him a buy on this one. I'll be honest with you. Here's what happened. You might want to know. Alabama Reflector has a piece that came out yesterday, day before. U.S. House passes a stopgap spending bill, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Senate passed it today. So, in other words, the government's not going to shut down yet. We're going to continue to live on credit for a little while longer, apparently. But anyway, in a 336-95 House vote, the first major legislative test for Speaker Mike Johnson, the Louisiana Republican who took on the role after the former Speaker was ousted, 93 House Republicans voted against it. So he didn't have his caucus. And you're talking 93 voted against it. How did our Alabama delegation do? Well, in Alabama, Representatives Robert Adderholt, Terry Sewell, our one Democrat, and Dale Strong all voted for it. And then Representatives Jerry Carl, Barry Moore, Gary Palmer, and Mike Rogers all voted against it. I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised that Mike Rogers voted against it. I think it's because he's got some competition, and he's also faced some recent backlash making it seem like he's not very conservative. So I don't know how to explain it otherwise. Then again, maybe Mike's just got a change of heart and he's tired of CRs. I don't know. But anyway, that just happened, and that's how your U.S. delegation voted on that here in the home fries section. All right, all y'all out there who are looking forward to medical marijuana, it's a goat rodeo. They are roping goats and herding cats down there in Montgomery, doing all they can to corral up the Medical Marijuana Cannabis Commission. All right, so it's been such a circus, man. Like, wow, I'm talking like monkeys riding on horses. It's been awful. Boomer's laughing. Oh my gosh, send in the clowns. But yeah, the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission released their schedule of meetings. So they got the schedule now. Here's when we'll do it again, because they have already issued licenses in June and then again in August, all of which were vacated by litigation because they had done it so poorly. And the commission now aims to try again in January and then try to finish up by March. And we imagine that there'll be other people that will file suit once again. And by the way, these are not people out there who are angry that medical marijuana is in the state. These are people who are mad they didn't get a license. I mean, this is what happens when government tries to run the private sector so stringently. They set themselves up for failure. The government gets to pick the winners and the losers. I'm sorry, Mr. Private Sector Man, you don't get to play because we like him better. And we decided, you know, if you really want to do this, I mean, if you really want to do this, and I'm not even for marijuana, not at all, but if you really want to do this, this ain't the way. The way you would do this is to get out of the way and say there will be some strict guidelines on the THC content for the medical marijuana. There'll be some strict guidelines on how it can be dispensed and to whom. But they're saying like, okay, only going to have so many in the state. Your county gets one. Yours doesn't. you get two over here. And it's just stupid. And so, yeah, medical marijuana in Alabama continues to be dazed and confused. Ah, see what I did dazed there? And dazed and confused. Yeah. You liked that, didn't you? Last couple things I've got. State Library Board member John Wall. John Wall, who's also the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, been on the show multiple times. John Wall is headed down, I believe, today. Story here on 1819 News. I think they were meeting today. I saw it on Twitter, as a matter of fact. The Public Library Service Board that he sits on, he was going to be making a call to have the state officially, by board action, withdraw from the American Library Association. The American Library Association, the ALA, it promotes things like diversity, equity, and inclusion. They try to supply, you know, books and recommendations for, you know, sexual content and LGBTQ agendas in libraries. And he's saying, let's get out. So John Wall, we applaud you on that, and I'm glad he is, and I look forward to finding out how that goes. And then lastly, I have to ask. On this, what are you doing, Boomer? Get your hand away from that sound effect. Get your hand away from that sound effect. Turn your microphone on.
I don't even know. I don't even know what sound effect I'm going to use, but I was ready.
Here's my question for you.
Do I want to answer?
Is the kick six the greatest college football play ever? I hold the story in my hand.
So how do you have this story today? I was literally talking about this last night.
Because it's all the rage. Everybody's talking about this.
Everyone's
because we're
talking.
Cooking up home fries, and everybody knows that it's home fries. Thank you very much. It's home fries. But everybody knows that the greatest play in the history of college football, for a variety of reasons,
okay,
is the greatest play because of the athleticism of it. I mean, it's a 100-yard return. Plus, it was the greatest play because no one saw it coming, and most of the football world didn't know you could do that. God bless Alabama's coaching staff who knew. It was the greatest play because there were no penalties or anything else that could have messed it up. It was a highly disciplined action. It was also the greatest play because I've never seen Charlene Williams come out of her chair screaming and throwing her arms in the air like that. It was like she'd been touched by the Holy Spirit. She was literally on fire, and I cannot imagine any other play in college football history ever igniting that kind of passion in her like that one did.
Wow. That was a great lead-in.
Are you going to argue with me now? Kick six, baby. Oh, golly, bum. I don't know.
So they're saying that is the greatest ever. Or are you saying?
I'm saying. This article goes through all these other plays, all these other like, also rans.
All these other plays.
I mean, does have things like Punt Bama Punt in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. That was a great one. Punt Bama Punt, 1972. Whew, man. All right. Then you had, what else did you have in here? You have moments like, Bo Jackson, over the top. I mean, that was a great one.
I mean, I will say, when they're awesome. Showing highlights, they, for some reason, always put that one in. And it's not just Bama highlights.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Anyway, if that's not some home fries, I don't know what is. Isn't that amazing? Top three plays, all Auburn over Alabama. Wow.
Must be.
Punt, Bama, punt, bow over the top, kick six.
I think that's the music, right?
I forgot about the miracle at Jordan-Hare. The miracle at Jordan-Hare. That was amazing. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we've got State Senator Chris Elliott. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.